Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey, everyone. This is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I am here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Hi, Joel. How you doing?
Hey. So we had an amazing weekend.
You want to elaborate a little?
So we, because I don't know what it's called. I know that's why.
It's called Multifamily Mastery Live 3. October 19th and 20th. We were just at the event this past weekend. I think there were over 500 attendees, but what was really cool about it was that there were a lot of Jake and Gino students there. And I love having these events for several reasons. In this podcast, what Julie and I want to go over is the aha moments that we had. We want to also talk about how spouses should go together. Even if one spouse doesn't decide that they want to belong in real estate, you should still go to events and conventions with the spouse. We had a lot of Jake and Gino students that brought their significant others there, and it worked really well because they met the community. They met the people that the other spouse is going to be doing business with or partnering with. They met the vendors. They met Jake and myself. So it was just a great feeling community. And I think it's just great if spouses can get to these events together at least one a year.
Yeah. So the exciting part for me was that I met a lot of you that are listening, and that was so exciting because, you know, my husband and I sit here in this room by ourselves and I'm like, who is really listening? So I just want to thank you all for coming up to me and telling me that you listened and you liked it. And I even asked a couple of you what you wanted to hear more. And I know that was like a, you know, a shocker question and they couldn't answer, but a couple of you got back to me and I'm so thankful. So thank you. And I encourage anyone out there to just send us an email what you want to hear more out of this podcast.
So send an email to juliabarbaro@gmail.com and just send over any typical shows note. I'm sorry. Send over any ideas that you want for the shows. We like to focus on spouses, how spouses can work together, but also other stuck points or other challenges that you're having with, whether it's communication, any of those topics, please send them over to us.
Well, they all go together, though. If you think about it, you know, the communication and working together, everything goes together. So we could, you know, we could incorporate that with everything.
So what were your aha moments for the weekend?
Well, I was just so excited to stay in that big room outside the conference and speak to people. I loved it. And I loved all of you that came up to me and asked me, you know, a couple of you were talking about your spouse and how do I encourage them to, you know, that you wanted to buy the education, you wanted to further your knowledge in multifamily, and you really do need your support, the support of your spouse. So how do you get that? And, you know, when I was coming home, I was driving home after the event, you know, the kids were all in the back quiet. My husband was half asleep. So I really sat and thought about it for a couple hours. And it's one of those things where when my husband first approached me, he did talk about the financial freedom as being able to buy stuff, but I'm not really into stuff. So, you know, he did elaborate after a while about what type of life we wanted to live as far as being able to go on those extra vacations. But more importantly, he went further and said, you know, we could fly your mom down for a vacation. We could fly your other family down for a vacation. Stuff like that, to me, is actually more important. If we could help somebody else out, that is so important to me. So that to me is financial freedom. So the question I ask is, what does that mean? What does financial freedom mean to you? And, you know, break it down, write it down. But after you write it down, go further than that. You know, I talked to someone about, you know, even, you know, someone's having a child and they wanted to fly their mom, but it was too expensive and it was a big ordeal. What if you could do that looking back? Would it be worth it? Would you say, okay, you know what? I give you that, what's it called? Not the freedom, but I give you my blessing. Go get the education, learn it, because that's what I'm looking for. So that's what I'm talking about. If you could talk to your spouse that way and explain what financial freedom is and what it looks like for your family, I think that would be different.
I think what Julie is trying to say ultimately to elaborate is paint a picture. Picture this. Do you know what we could do with that extra $5,000 a month when we become financially free? Wouldn't it be great to be able to take that extra vacation? Wouldn't it be able to be great to save for college for our children? I would love to be able to pay for my mother-in-law to come down for a vacation. I would love to pay for my niece, who's a missionary and doing it and donate some money towards that event. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because those are pictures that you can paint.
Didn't I just say that?
I'm just I'm elaborating on it, but you have to put emotion to it. Picture this.
Right.
You know,
well, everyone's going to have a little bit of a different picture, right? A little bit different, but kind of all the same. And I think that's what we forget to, when we talk to our spouse, we kind of just talk about college and our kids are like three. So in my mind, college when the kids are three is so foreign to me. Well, okay. That's like in, 20 years from now, what does that have to do with now? So that's important that sometimes when we look too far ahead, it's not reality.
So my aha moments from the speakers, so I was sitting down listening to some of the speakers. Unfortunately, I couldn't listen to all of them, but we have recordings. So if anyone went to the event and wants the recordings, just email me. They should be available the next month or so. The first one was from Eric Thomas. It's about execution. It's execute. And his message is really cool because he says in his whole speech, he's like, you are born in America. You have all of the opportunity that is available to you. It doesn't matter where you're born in America. It doesn't matter who you're born to. He was born in the inner city and he seems as if he made it out. He's doing really well. He's an amazing speaker. And he talks all about executing. People don't care about anything else other than executing. And my wife was really impressed with how we pulled the event off this year. Last year went really well too. It was just a little bit different last year. We had a smaller event and there were certain things that we didn't do that we did this year. Everything went smoother this year and we executed. People don't want to know that you don't execute. They don't care about that. They want to come to the event and have a great time. So ET was talking about execution. He also mentioned that producers create producers. And that's what we're trying to achieve at Jake and Gino. Jake and I are producers. We have over 1,500 units. With the Jake and Gino education, we're trying to create, and I think we're achieving this, other producers. We have students who've closed over 4,000 units that have over $400 million in assets under management. So we're creating those producers. So that's what ET was saying. If you're a producer, you create producers. And I thought that was awesome. The next thing is Rick Sapio had a talk and it was awesome. He did a great job at his talk. What I loved, what he mentioned was that everyone can be an entrepreneur. A stay-at-home housewife can be an entrepreneur because she takes responsibility. That was really awesome to me because everyone thinks about an entrepreneur as starting a business and doing whatever. Entrepreneur have several different ways to describe them. And I think one of the ways is an entrepreneur is somebody who solves problems. And the other one is somebody who takes responsibility. And I mean, what better than a housewife who stays home with the kids? She's solving problems all the time, whether the kids are sick, help them with their homework, take care of the home, take care of the husband, whatever that may be. That's really huge problem solving. Just because they're not getting monetary benefit for it, that's amazing. And then taking that responsibility for doing all that and executing on that, like ET said, that is really huge. So that was really powerful.
Can I just
me.
Add something in there when you're talking about that? Because I did meet a few of you as well that do stay home and you had told me that all you can do is support your husband. And I'm thinking, well, that's all they need. Sometimes even if we say, yeah, go ahead, go get that education, do that. We're not really supportive. It actually holds them back a little bit. And that's both sides. I'm just talking because I have a husband, but, so if we support them and we say, do it, I'm 100% in, I'm with you. Let me know how I can help you. I want to help you. I want to be in this together. That alone is so important for each of us. And that goes both ways. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom like I am, my husband supports that. And I know that. So that is, it's incredible.
Another aha moment for me was one of my daughters. She's in the hallway. And they're all selling swag and they're really excited and they're doing a great job. And one of them goes up to somebody and says, do you want to buy the shirt? And the person says, yeah, sure. And the aha moment for her was all you have to do is ask for the sale. If you ask somebody something, they may say no, but you might be surprised. They may say yes. And this can translate totally into your real estate business, because we have a lot of students who are fearful of getting on a call with the broker. Why are you afraid to get on the call with the broker? They may say no to your offer. They're not saying no to you. They're saying no to your offer, but they may say yes. And it's all about becoming educated and calling the broker and having a plan to get on a call. Brokers don't want to go out for a cup of coffee. Brokers will go on property tours. They will talk to you and describe the market and get to know you, but you have to bring value to them. You have to let them know what you're looking for. You have to let them know how you can execute and close the deal, right? So that asking for the sale is really huge, really powerful.
That's important, because sometimes we always dwell on the negative part if they say no, and that's the only part that we think about. So what if you turn that and think about, what if they say yes? What if the person says, what if your wife or your husband or whoever's holding you back? Because it even could be your parents too. Over here, you know, his mom was hard on him for a lot of things. But why not just ask? Why not just have that conversation? Because we always dwell on the, what if they say no, all the negative. But we have to just focus on, what if they say yes, what does it look like? And then go from there.
Another speaker that really resonated with the entire audience, was Jim Shields in 18 Summers. And a lot of the students and members in the Jake and Gino community are doers, and they're out there. And his message was simply, don't forget about your children. You basically have 18 summers until they go to college to really bond with them. So don't take your kids, or don't take that relationship for granted. Spend time with them. Look up Jim Shields. Look up 18 Summers. His book is a great read. It just reinforces how to actually include your family in the business, and include something called boardroom meetings, where every 3 months you spend a day with your child and just let them do what they want. It seems very simple, but I challenge you, how many of you out there are doing that? Spending a full day or half a day with your child and letting them choose what they want to do, not what you want to do.
It's such a challenge. I'm going to be honest. It really is. I find it super challenging.
It is. And those things that are super challenging in life are really worth doing.
Yeah, no, I know that. There's just so many things that come up. And it's just like, all right, you know what? Let's do it next week. It's not worth it.
So you need to schedule it. I mean, you need to put on the schedule.
But even if it's on the schedule, it's still an effort.
It is.
And it's worth it. But I'm telling everyone out there that, you know, I have a really hard time with that.
Put it on the schedule and don't make excuses, because those years go by and before you know it. For us, we have a different relationship. We homeschool our kids. So we're around our children all the time. So it's not like we get a break. If you homeschool your kids, you can still find a little coffee time. Julia likes to do that. Every now and again, she'll sneak out. We have the golf cart. She'll drive somewhere with the children. We don't have a half a day or 3 or 4 hours, but even an hour to get away and to listen to them is important.
Two, sometimes you don't even have to go out. Sometimes you can do it home. Mm-hmm. You know, you could seriously do it home. One of our little Cecilia, she loves games. If I play a card game with her, that for her is enough. So sometimes you have to think outside the box.
So what are the aha moments?
I don't know, just the whole excitement. So this is kind of funny. I had to go to a mom's meeting last night. And I, you know, coming from this weekend with all these exciting people, you know, out to be better and to help other people, just the whole excitement. I was still feeling that. And last night I went to this mom's meeting, and I went in the room and I just felt the opposite of that. And I just like, oh. Everyone was like, you know, complaining, and it was so negative. And I thought, oh my gosh, I hate this. I wanted to leave. And I thought, okay, I could sit and complain and not say anything or whatever, or I could try to lift everyone up. And that's what I did. And I was so surprised. I didn't expect that. But leaving the room, everyone was in a good mood. And so we could change people's energy in one shot, in one sentence sometimes, by just, because, you know, we always look at who you're around, right? You always talk about, what do you talk about? The people you're around.
Yes. And where she's also hinting at the levels of energy that she hates to talk about. But that's basically what it is. Yes. But I have to refresh everybody. She walked into a situation where there was a lot of victimhood, which is level one. It's catabolic energy. Now you have two choices. You can either stay at that level, which most people do, or you can choose to raise a level of energy. And what Julia had is, she had the leftover effects of a great weekend. This is why you need to go to weekends. This is why you need to go away and get your battery recharged and come back and come excited and have a business plan, because it really filters into the rest of your life, into the rest of your quarter. So right now, everyone who went to that event, I know they've got an action plan for the next 2-3 months, and it's going to hold them for the rest of the year.
Right.
So that's why it's so important to do that. And there's one other point. There's the difference between having a place where there's execution and there is energy, excitement, and a framework and people wanted to be there, as opposed to the opposite. So when you're in that situation, when you're in that environment, when you're in that community, that's what's, it's worth more than anything. It's worth more than any videos. It's worth more than any education to be around those people, because you can use them as mentors. You know, Jim Rohn says you're probably the average of the five people that you're surrounded with. So if you're surrounded with five victim people and five angry people, that's where you're going to resonate with. But if you're surrounded by really high level people, smart people, good people, they're going to raise you up to their level of standard.
But at some times though, you're in, put into a situation like this where you can make a decision and you could choose to just sit there and deal with it and complain about it later. Or you could try, like I said, to lift them up. Cause sometimes we're always looking at who we're around and make sure they're up high.
That's called leadership. Okay. We can do 17 podcasts on that. There's so many books written on that. You're okay. discussing
See,
leadership.
Okay.
Yes, you exhibited leadership. Okay. That's what a leader is. Leader's a visionary. He sees the vision. He can deviate from the course, but the vision always stays the same. Mm-hmm. So your vision is to have a great meeting. So how are you going to get to that great meeting? Let's paint a picture. You're at that meeting right now. You're with women who are disgruntled, who are blaming, who were supposed, 20 women are supposed to be there and only five showed up. Well, whose fault was it not send the email out? You can all pick and choose and blame each other. The leader is going to stand up and go, okay, whose responsibility is that?
What are we going to do next time? That's what
the question
was. And
start delegating.
Yes. No,
and that's what the vision, that's what the visionary and the leader is. There aren't very many leaders. There's a lot of followers out there. So you to be able to lead.
So the question is, how do you become the leader? Because all the people at this event, when I saw you and you talked to me, everyone was like that, excited, ready to do it, ready to do anything. And that's what I left with. So I wonder, even out there listening, how many of you went to work the next day you got home and felt what I felt, that everyone was down and you're excited and you're ready to go and everyone was bringing you down. What did you do?
So what you need to do is you need to plug back into the Jake and Gino community. You need to start networking with other people. You need to start going to meetups weekly or monthly or whatever, and need to start logging in and getting in with those communities and staying plugged in, because the majority of the people are complaining about their jobs and not doing anything about it. I complained about my job for years. I was at least doing something about it towards the last couple of years. So that really invigorated me. And my biggest mistake, as I tell everybody, I never went to these meetings. Mm-hmm. I wish I had gone. And my wife ultimately pushed me to go. And 6 months after I went, I ended up leaving the restaurant. I don't know if there's a correlation. Maybe it's because I was at the tail end of it. But that really accelerated my ability to leave the job, because I'm surrounded by a great community. I was doing the life coaching. I was getting a lot of clarity. This gives you a lot of clarity also when you're around other excited people. And also there's opportunities to network,
so many
partner,
opportunities. It was so amazing
capital.
To see everyone just talk with everyone. I loved it. It was amazing.
It was great. So the Honeybee is coming out this week. So if you want to, it's on Amazon. Pick it up. It's a great book. It's a business
really
parable. So it's an easy read. Give it to your children. Mm-hmm. It's really simple. It's written almost like The Richest Men in Babylon. It's a parable based on a story of a drug rep named Noah, and it parallels Jake's life and my life through the business world, how we started out with one little property, and we've created something called multifaceted multifamily. And I think you guys are all going to really love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just encourage everyone out there to, you know, especially if you went to the event, just stay positive, stay up there. Continue to contact the whole community. If you haven't signed up with their education, I really recommend it. I've talked to so many people that have benefited from it. And I mean, like, extremely benefited, not just a little bit. Just being around those people made all the difference. So that's really important. And again, if your spouse isn't on board, you know, have them contact me. I would love to send an email to them just to encourage their support, because that's really what we need from each other is the support in whatever we decide to do. We're in this together. It's a team effort. And sometimes they just need to know that they're part of it.
So to recap this, let's speak about financial freedom in terms of painting a picture, not just making money. What is money going to do to you? As Cole Hatter said at the event, make money matter. What is it going to do for your life, right? Aha moments, execution, producers, create producers, ask for the sale. Those are all important components. It was exciting. I had a great time. It was really tiring. And I did fall asleep when I drove home, but you should have seen my wife in the afternoon. She never takes a nap.
I couldn't move.
So, I mean, she's
all right. It's all good. I'm fine now.
But it was a lot of fun. It was so worth it. So, I mean, if anybody has any comments, please leave comments down below. please email us for any kind of information that you want us to continue to speak about on the podcast, because it's really important.
Yeah, no, and I really encourage you to let us know what you think, because I loved it and I loved it. And I just encourage you to keep that up.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.